SBS Radio.
Back in the program, Mariam Arcilla, we had her more than 2 years ago. Kumusta, Mariam?
Mabuti po, Adeline.
Yes, and now we're having you not just by yourself, but with someone else, special in the heart as well as with your work. Mason Kimba. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Mariam, how did you and Mason met and how are you related in terms of your work?
Well, I first came across Mason when I wanted to rent a room and he had a spare room in his share house. I didn't end up getting the room, but we started hanging out because I found out he was an artist. And so because I was writing about art and I was always growing up with art around me, I thought that there was a commonality between both of us. And we got along really, really well. And it kind of felt natural to eventually fall in love and move in together. So that's how it happened.
So it's not just art that really put you together, can we say that? But as well as you said, maybe your connection with each other. How did you find Mariam, Mason?
Mariam was, I was interviewing her actually for our room in our share house. And it was funny because she didn't get the room, but she got the guy, you know? And so the interview was, I didn't know it was actually for a partner in a way. You know, the way that it ended up. And so we just ended up hanging out afterwards because we had all these common interests and art and everything. So we just hang out more and then we got to know each other and fell in love that way.
Yeah. Mariam, you moved to Sydney 2 years ago? Yeah, 3 years now. But how was the art scene treating you here in Sydney now?
Oh, it's just incredible. It's been nonstop since I've been here and I've been able to kind of get in touch with a lot of the Filipino artists who are here and it's been so welcoming and I still fly back to Brisbane every now and then for my job, but I'm just so rooted in the art scene here. I love it so much.
And I think you won't be able to move back to Brisbane and just to stay here in Sydney because of Mason. But we talk about the arts that Mason are doing and now you are curating an exhibition?
I haven't been curating for a while, so I'm arts writing, so I write about artists and designers. I'm also an arts publicist and an arts worker, so I work with many artists and institutions to stage festivals and open studios such as this one, exhibitions, so it's been really rewarding to actually be with an artist because we are both each other's soundboard and we're each other's brain trust. So if Mason has any, you know, advice that he can give me about, you know, writing about a certain art form like abstraction, he's there to provide advice. And the same thing as well when he wants me to look at artist bios that he's writing, I have a look at that. So it's a very two-way.
I'm always saying to Mariam, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? Give me your opinion. Yeah.
It's a great combination for the two of you because Mariam is here to talk about what you do and then Mason does the making of the art, isn't it? But can we talk about your slanted mansions? You did this last year?
Yeah. So the exhibition that I had was called Slanted Mansions and it was based on this trip that I made to Manila to visit Mariam's family for the first time in Quezon City. And when I went there, I was learning about her history and her past. And there was a house that she spent most of her time in that was still there and hadn't changed much, actually. And it was called Slanted Mansions because things in the house were a little bit kind of off or slanted, you know. The effects of time had you could see it in the house. And in fact, I think, you know, sooner or later it's going to be demolished or changed into a different house. So it had all this decay. And those are the things that I thought were interesting in terms of like learning about the memories of her past.
Can you talk about a little bit about the old house in Manila that Mason is talking about?
It was a grand family home. My Lola had 8 children, so we were a very large family, and it used to be the place to be where everyone would, you know, come after church, you know, Domingo, and we would just have the most lavish dinners and catch-ups. And slowly, as everybody's moved out, it's become this, you know, this ever-changing house where it's sort of being neglected, and you know, our family is losing a lot of those memories. So this was was a way for Mason to capture all of that. And also on a personal side, when Mason proposed to me, it was very important for him to meet my Lola. And so when I introduced him to my Lola, she looked at my ring that he had given me and she had said, Makanotna.
Is it malaki?
Yeah, it's exactly. She was like, you know, is it big? Yeah, so that she's still very cheeky that way. So it was very important for him to meet, you know, my father's side. And that was really great. They've accepted him because my family are all artists and entertainers. And so they understand, you know, the lifestyles that artists have. And they were very welcoming when he wanted to use a lot of our personal heirlooms and the way that he wanted to remember them and monumentalize them for his show. So that was very, very sweet, you know, memento. Yeah.
Yes, let's talk about the pieces of arts or molded things that you did. Of the things that you saw very memorable and interesting to really put into art from Mariam's Lola's house or from the heritage house, isn't it?
Yeah, the house itself has all these objects, almost like a library of interesting objects, and all these a lot of people live there, so a lot of history. And so my idea was to somehow capture parts or memories of the objects in the house, because objects hold stories, you know, and especially when it comes to childhood stories, because they're so strong in our memory. So my idea was to use this material called silicone, which I had to find there. Yeah. It was a little bit difficult with my English and bad Tagalog. So we did find it. It wasn't too hard. And so I covered some of these surfaces in this. It's like a putty, like Play-Doh. And when you use your fingers to push or knead it into the surface, like you're making bread or something, once you sort of squish it into a surface, then it kind of pops off and it gets hard after about 10 minutes. And then you've got a mold, which is, you can use that to then cast into with materials like plaster and resin. And it's like making a copy of an object.
Yes. And can you name some of the important or memorable items that you did mold from the house?
Yeah, well, Mariam talks a lot about her rooftop. She spent a lot of time on the rooftop. So we got these corrugated roof impressions and different like kind of balcony elements, a lot of like ornaments, and there's a special chest. It's a family heirloom that was hand-carved wood that has this kind of image of a Mariam calls a Baha'i, like a house, but it's in a quite a traditional setting, and it has this tree. And so that became quite an important mold of the exhibition. Part of that mold became the feature of the show.
My Lola's cooking knife as well, and the mongol beans. And I was telling Mason how, you know, Filipino family upbringing is quite strict, and so we would have the mongol beans kneel in them, you know, until you get, until you cry, and then, you know, my Lola and Lolo would use the same beans to cook the soup. And so what hurts you also nurtures you in a way. So I was able to kind of show Mason what they looked like. And I can still feel them on my knees when I look at them. It's a very vivid thought. But, yeah, so it was good to kind of talk about the differences in the cultures and how we were brought up, and to revisit that through the works. So.
And we also stayed one night at the Manila Hotel, and we got impressions of the, although I don't want to say too much because I don't know if it's they allow us to do that, but they have really amazing old furniture in the rooms, and Mariam has some experiences there, so I took some impressions of the furniture as well.
The furniture that Mason was talking about, one of the side or the bed headings. Yeah. It's usually an antique for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, the bedroom is usually where all the family hangs out. And I remember, you know, being able to sleep on the side with four other cousins or brothers and sisters. And so the bed becomes like the ceremonial place where everyone just congregated. And so to have a really heavy, robust, wooden, antique bed is a very important thing for us. So
where kids also jump.
Yeah, jump and play and eat, watch telenovelas. Everything kind of happens around the bedroom in the Philippines.
Mason, what have you learned during your first visit visit to the Philippines, and as well as with the things that you saw there in terms of the culture of the Philippines, as well as Mariam's family?
Well, I noticed not in terms of the modern culture, but there's this tradition of craft, you know, especially with all these handcrafted wood objects, and even Mariam's mum having a hobby of making these handcrafted sculptures. So I love that that tradition of craft and of hand making with the hands, because I love an object that has the scars of time in it. And also another thing I noticed was the layers of architecture in Manila, because obviously there's so much history, so much, you know, traumatic history as well of other countries coming in and ruining things. But there is that sense of history that is visible through the different types of architecture, which has been that left, and that has formed its own kind of style that I thought was quite unique.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say as well that, you know, with Mason's works dealing a lot with, you know, the change in fragments and architectural shifts, being in the Philippines and being exposed to that, you know, climate cocktail of volcanoes and typhoons and rain and, a lot of it. Yeah, so a lot of our childhood usually gets reset when we lose a lot of things through floods and through fires and through calamities. And so the way that we're able to, you know, remember these objects is to try and make molds or to try and write about them or make songs about them so that we keep them alive in our memories. And so by making these works, Mason is remembering these objects for me on behalf of me, which I think is quite a nice touch. But yeah.
So yeah, you feature this artworks at your Slanted Mansions exhibit, but where can our listeners find this artworks now?
Well, it exists online, masonkimber.com. It's KIMBER. But then I've got an exhibition in Darlinghurst at a gallery called Gallery, and then the number 9, Gallery 9. That's in August of this year. So I'm always having exhibitions, and I'm also in the Sulman Prize, which is at the Art Gallery in New South Wales. It's the State Gallery.
Congratulations, you're a finalist.
Thank you. So that's always exciting. So, yeah, I'm always making artworks and showing them somewhere.
And now we're at the Sherlow Street Studios. Can you tell us about it?
So Sherlow Street Studios is a studio-based initiative run by Art Incubator. So they're a philanthropist couple that provide artists with support and mentoring through funding and through advice as well through the industry. And so the studios were opened early this year, and so we've had official launch today with 8 artists who have moved into the studios. And so this is a way to provide a lot of artists with that support that you get, especially in Sydney, where rent is very expensive, where, you know, you value the community that you have as artists. So all the artists here get along with one another. They're incredibly diverse in their media. And so I'm helping Art Incubator with a few of the, you know, projects that they run here, especially the studio. And it's been really great, obviously, working with Mason at this capacity as well. It's easy sometimes, you know, when you hear about partners who work together, and that's not a good thing. But I feel that we work pretty well together as a team, which is very enriching as well for our relationship. So, yeah, it's good.
Sherlow Studios... is it open to public?
It's an open studio today, which is the one day that it's open to the public, but it's a private area so that artists can obviously make their works without people dropping in every now and then. But we're going to be having open studio programs throughout the year, hopefully, and special events that we can invite the public to. So if you wanted to follow our updates, we have an Instagram, Sherlow ST Studios, so we'll be able to send you event updates then, yeah.
If anyone's interested in, like, they like one of the artists and they want to know more, we're always open for people coming and visiting, and we're always having an open door in that way.
And where can they get in touch with the artist or anyone?
Through Instagram, which is quite easy. I mean, if you can hit up any of the artists, I'm sure they can show you around. You know, so they're mostly here during the week. So,
what's the handle again?
Sherlow Street Studios, so ST Studios, or you can get in touch with the artists individually through finding us on Instagram. So, yeah. So the artists that we have here at Sherlow Street Studios are David Griggs, Isabella Plita, Sybil Cox, Mason Kimber, Phil James, William Cook, Stevie Fieldsend, and Tim Silva. So eight artists working across photography, painting, film, performance, textile, sculpture. So a wide range of artists. And downstairs we have a design studio as well called So What. So it's a whole jumble of creatives here. It's always bustling.
And you can hear that. You can hear the plane. That means we're in Magville.
Yes, Mason. How important for you as an artist to have Sherlock Street Studios open for artists like yourself?
Well, space is everything. You know, artists need space to create. And in Sydney, that's a real problem. So this is actually a really, really important thing to provide. And it's such a great opportunity to help artists so directly. If you give an artist space and time, they will make magic, you know. All you have to do is just allow that, provide the setting for that. So, and it's also really great when you're sharing with other people, because when you're making art, you're by yourself and it can get a bit insular and a bit crazy. So we have conversations, and that's how, you know, things, ideas and relationships are forged.
And how are you able to really put your culture and Mariam's culture together in an artwork?
It's a very tough thing to do. All I can do is listen to Mariam, and then I'm not trying to replicate or speak for her, but I can just take my observations and then process it in the way that I process it in the studio. And however that comes out, that's what the artwork becomes. And that's hopefully something new that both of us don't have. So that's the beauty of art, is it can actually fuse things together.
And are you going back to the Philippines for more of this art?
Well, we have to get married soon. So, but of course, I want to visit again. And we actually know a few people there who, you know, have galleries and artists. So there's a really amazing scene there. And I really want to go back to see some of the art galleries in Manila and the fairs. And so that's quite exciting just for that. And also to visit Mariam's family.
Yeah, we went to some incredible galleries like Silver Lens. There's Project 21, which is an Ari there. But yeah, so hopefully we want to have a pamilya, a one day, and it's very crucial for me to have you know, both cultures represented and to raise kids who are bilingual, because, you know, Tagalog is an incredible language that I'm slowly losing because I'm living here in Sydney. So I would like to, and talking to nobody because, you know, my friends are, you know, I were raised here in Australia, so they're also learning Tagalog. So, you know, eventually it'd be so nice to have that fluidity between Tagalog and English, or even Taglish, you know, which my Lola would not be happy about. But it's, yeah, these are the things that keep our culture alive, right?
Maybe last question, Mariam. How important for you to really keep the memory of your pamilya, your Filipino heritage, and bring them here with you in Australia?
I think the best way to do it is just to keep, you know, the channels of communications open. So I'm always talking to my family through Messenger and, you know, WhatsApp, you know, the favorite thing that Filipinos love, actually, Viber. So keeping those channels open and talking to family about, you know, the cooking recipes that we have. So I come from a family of cooks as well. And so the next time I go to the Philippines, I want my aunties to teach me all their secret ingredients.
Sifu.
Yeah, so my Lola's adobo uses two special key ingredients that not many people use. And so when I have Filipinos come over and I cook them my Lola's adobo, they have their minds blown. They want to know what's in it. And when I tell them, they just go, what? That is what's not, my Lola doesn't make that. And so it's just the intricacies and layers of Filipino cooking that I really, really want to learn when I go back there, so that we can cook them for our little kids, our anaks, one day. Yeah.
We look forward to that. Maybe not too soon, no. But yeah.
Come back and interview us when we have our first anak.
With the kids.
Yeah.
So where can our listeners again follow you, Mason?
Well, I'm Mason Kimber, MasonKimber, on Instagram. Probably the best way, or masonkimber.com.
And Mariam?
Same, it's Marzigold, Instagram, obviously. Marzigold, MarzigOld, and mariamarcilia.com is my website.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Salamat po.
sbs.com.au/Filipino.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.